Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
This is our therapy.
Welcome.
Dive in.
All right. How's it going?
It's going well. I am stirring my tequila cocktail. This is a tequila sunrise.
Oh, you know all the fancy cocktails.
This is not fancy, but thank you for saying that.
It's very fancy. Okay. I don't cocktail.
I think in the summertime, cocktails are nice. They're like refreshing and icy.
I mean, I know you're fancy when you pull out fresh squeezed orange juice and what are these maraschino cherries?
Organic maraschino cherries.
I don't even know what that means. They come out.
I have an organic.
It's like a water birth cherry?
It is. Yes. It's a free range cherry.
Check-ins. Yummy, though. What do you got?
I have decided that I'm a hypocrite and that's okay.
Aww.
It's okay. I think that word sounds negative.
Yeah.
But I think what it really means is not that I don't have a foundation for what I'm saying and I'm just like whipping in the wind willy-nilly. It's not that.
It's not that, pissing into the wind.
No, it's that I can see different sides of things and maybe in different situations, what might seem hypocritical is really me being equanimous.
What did you do?
Well, I was just listening to what I said on the last podcast.
About what?
About wanting the racist covenants removed from the real estate titles. Mm-hmm. But then in another podcast, actually a couple, when I was talking about the Dr. Seuss book, the racist Dr. Seuss book that I have upstairs, mm-hmm. that I was going to keep it and not destroy it because mm-hmm. I think we can learn from things.
Okay.
So it might seem like those are hypocritical stances, but they're actually two situations
that are very different.
They're different.
You keeping that book, like, are you harming somebody by doing that? And I would hope not.
No, and a covenant could.
It's not just a clan harm of vampires.
People. And I think there's other ways to keep the history and learn from it, other than keeping.
I mean,
that language on.
We got the cloud. Let's just back that shit up, put it in a folder, call it good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that book upstairs, it's my house, my book, and it doesn't bother me to have it. So there.
You can be a hypocrite.
Well, I'm reclaiming the word. I don't see it as being negative. I see it as being like understanding the nuances of life.
I don't know if you like qualify to be able to reclaim a word like hypocrite, but
I'm nuanced.
Okay.
Macy.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I feel like that happens to me sometimes.
So that was the thought I was having when I was driving today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, my topic is actually about my check-in thought, so I can't really dive into it yet. Do you have anything else?
No, I was just having deep thinky thoughts. So
I watch more Dance Moms. I did see a couple little parts where I'm like, oh yeah, that's really mean.
Abby can be mean.
She can be mean, but what we know about people in general is that if an adult puts themselves in that situation, we wouldn't report that. That's not illegal to be mean. You're choosing that, right? So the parents are giving their consent for the child to be there. And I saw many videos where they're like, they're crying because they're upset, but they're also saying like, but I love you, Abby. You know, like, so there is some affection there that you probably.
Fucking twisted is what that is.
Well, in the TV show, I'm sure.
Disorganized attachment is what
that
is. Just
highlighting the negatives, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know what kind of editing was done to tell the evil Abby story.
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't great, though. I watched some interviews where I was like, that was her on best behavior. So also, you know, might sound hypocritical that I'm saying that she can both be entertaining to watch and probably not okay to have your child subjected to.
Yeah.
I enjoy them both.
See?
Yeah.
See, hypocritical is mm-hmm. maybe an advanced way of being.
I probably wouldn't sign my daughter up, but I'd watch your daughter get run over on YouTube if you put it there. So that's kind of on you, parent.
Maybe those methods make great dancers. I think that's what the parents believe.
Kind like, of the point. Yeah. That
this is what has to happen. This is the method to get them to be champions and famous. And
I mean, that's kind of what I video kept seeing. Stars. They kept winning. So
they kept winning.
Yeah. So I don't have anything else really to check in about. It's still hot and I hate it.
It's still hot. Look, this ice is almost melted already in our drinks. And we just made these like 2 minutes ago.
I hate it. I hate it. Okay. So my topic today, I'm just going to dive right in.
Dive in.
Sorry. This was stemmed by my furiousness at the road construction stuff that's been going on in Spokane of late. Because I feel like all the stuff they put on hold from COVID is now happening all at once right now. I don't know about out here, but the valley is like
tons. Is this impacting your lifestyle?
No, I just get really stuck feeling when I get like can't move. I know Spokane's not that bad. I know it's not that bad. I chant that to myself.
No, my car, it is. And part of it is because they can't work year round. So every summer, everything becomes an obstacle course to figure out how to get from here to there.
Well, and on Pines, like I have to cross like two roads and then there's a railroad track. By the time I get up there, a freaking train goes by. Like there's a train every like 12 minutes and then I'm stuck and I get nowhere. I'm always like 2 minutes late, which is worse. I'd rather be 20 minutes late to something than 2 minutes. That like then I'm just panicked. So anyways, okay. So this got my mind on roads. And then I actually had a thought come up about infrastructure. Because we've talked about little bits in the U.S. about infrastructure and
I really want to talk about infrastructure.
I know. It was kind of a topic that I was like, well, this sucks, but, but it might be fun to talk about because it's relevant, like anywhere. Anyone listening to us in the U.S. at least, I know it's not great.
I think everywhere has infrastructure
problems.
Problems, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and we're probably on the better end of that. But we got our 2021 report card for infrastructure in the U.S.
Spokane did?
No, the whole U.S.
Oh.
We C-.
Who are we measuring up against?
It's the U.S.'s, it's like all the infrastructure, like people in the U.S. actually do a evaluation across the United States.
Okay.
It's our against ourselves each year.
Oh, so I thought last we were year, like against other countries.
No, it's not like a game.
Damn There's it.
Not prizes.
I was always such a grade grubber. I'm like, tell me who my competition is like, and I will take them down.
See, you would have been a great dance studio child or mom.
I would have.
Yeah. But you were blessed with boys who do not dance.
Well, actually, my older son was quite the dancer when he was young.
Your poor child does not need that shirt. That's great.
It was his choice.
That's great. Did you do tap?
I briefly did ballet and tap, probably an accumulation of 6 months of my life when I was like five.
I took one ballerina class and the teacher was really mean and I told my dad that and I never went back.
Yeah, I think it wasn't my jam.
She was really mean.
I'm a terrible dancer.
I have like no balance and that lady wanted me to stand on things that were like, you know, an inch wide. Like just wasn't going to happen. Okay, sorry. So infrastructure.
We digress.
It's everywhere. First of all, and it's kind of bad everywhere too. But in the U.S., we're facing some unique problems with it. Okay, so to start it off, don't read my notes. I know you're going to look away, right?
I'm looking away.
Look away.
I'll look at our video.
That creeps me out even more. Okay, so this includes everything from roads, bridges, airports, dams, levees, water systems.
Damn.
All of it. So they need a lot of federal investment to not keep getting worse. So this is something, I mean, obviously we don't just, they're not on auto renewal, you know, there's no money just sitting there. So it takes continual federal support to keep it going. And there's actually a bill that I think went through today, not maybe went through, but went up to be looked at by Biden to add like trillions of dollars into the infrastructure, which is really good because we need it.
Good.
So we got a C-, which 4 years ago it was a D-.
Oh, so we're doing better.
Yeah, yeah.
Or have we lowered the standards?
No, same standards. So they said that there was some improvements in like railroad categories, incremental improvements in some things like water systems and inland ports. Those things had improved. But 11 of the 17 infrastructure categories that were still evaluated in the D range. So that's 11 out of 17 were still a D range. Like, this, you know, that's not something you'd go home and be proud about.
You wouldn't put that grade on your fridge.
No. I mean, unless it was math for me, my dad would be like, look at that C minus, Macy. Good job. But, you know, any other class? Mm-mm. No, not something that mattered. I mean, maybe math matters.
Math matters.
I know math matters. Just not to me. I get it. It's fine.
Math matters, Macy. Calm down. Oh my gosh.
I made so many people mad by saying that right now. Sorry. It matters. But I've had a calculator.
Let's not have the math lobbyists after us.
I've had a calculator my whole life. It's never been a problem. Other people, I just point at it and they do it for me. It's fine. You just have to have one of those people in your life. I've learned how to adjust and accommodate. So, I mean, a lot of this infrastructure, often like 50 years ago is when it was built or more. This is old stuff. The transit system in the U.S. gets the lowest grade. That's a D minus, as there's about 45% of Americans who still lack access to transit and the existing transit infrastructure from subway tunnels to station facilities is really aging and needs updates and repairs.
Tunnels are scary.
Like just general tunnels or?
Any tunnel I go through, I don't like it.
Do you hold your breath in the tunnels?
Depends on how long it is because I don't want to pass out in a really long tunnel.
I've never actually thought of that when I've held my breath in really long tunnels while driving. I always feel like the prerequisite, you just have to do it.
I just seem like this is going to collapse and cave in.
But that's the whole point, is you hold your breath so nothing bad happens, right?
Is that a superstition that you have?
No.
Of course it isn't.
I haven't been crushed yet, have I? Okay, so another concern, and actually a really big concern, bridges. That's one of your things you don't like.
Yeah, it's all bad. All of it.
It's all bad. So the infrastructure report card, 42% of 617,000 bridges in the U.S. are more than 50 years old, and more than 46,000 of them are rated as structurally deficient.
Well, they closed one of our bridges downtown. Cars aren't allowed to drive over it anymore.
That's the...
Because of that reason.
Because
it was, like, falling apart.
Is that the... 195, that bridge?
No, that little bridge right downtown.
Oh, the little one, yeah.
Next to the Monroe Bridge.
There's another that, is it 195? Have you heard of that road?
I-95? The highway?
No, it's not the highway, though. It's a separate thing. I don't know. It's in Washington, but what they did was, they made it sound like it was in Spokane, but I could be wrong. It's not familiar to me. So they had all the traffic for almost a year now going to one lane, and just like, why? Nobody really knows why. And then
decrease the weight at one time.
Yeah, they were shifting because the rebar or whatever that is was starting to show.
I would
underneath.
Want to be informed of that. Yeah, so like, I could choose to not go over that bridge.
Yeah, I would rather not like put a sign that says you go to one lane to shift weight on deficient bridge. And I would go the fuck around.
Yeah. No, thank
in
you.
In a heartbeat.
Back when I had my earthquake PTSD, I would take no bridges to go from Fremont to San Francisco.
And that's hard to take no bridges.
Which takes a long ass time.
Spokane, it's a little easier to go no bridges, but that's hard over there.
I went around the bay.
So they like to say that doesn't mean that they're all in danger of collapsing, but indicates poor condition, which to me indicates a thing that happens right before something collapses. Oh, makes sense to me.
Well, how do you know when is when?
Well, that's
how much is too much.
Well, it's like that building that collapsed. Was that in Florida?
Oh my God.
That
I've been
horrifying.
So horrified by that. They're still pulling people out of the rubble, recovering bodies today.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
It has been completely heart-wrenching to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following it really closely.
Because it was condos, right?
Yeah, 12 stories just completely pancaked down, mm-hmm. and no survivors after the initial people were pulled out. And today, 97 people have been pulled out, deceased.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, couples, families, just absolutely devastating. And that is from you know, repairs that should have been made, that were damage that was identified and wasn't taken care of.
Yeah. And that's, there was like photos taken down below by a worker showing like some of the really crappy conditions that needed updating.
Yeah, it was the...
Wasn't that taken that day or something? It was something... No,
it was very...
Very recent.
Very close. Yeah, somebody was there to fix the pool. Mm-hmm. So the pool wasn't draining. The pool deck wasn't draining properly. Mm-hmm. It was just flat. And so all this water was just sitting there and damaging things.
Yeah.
And so that's where the collapse started, was there on the pool deck. And then, you know, the buildings can't support themselves without... anything below, and and the columns under that were really small also compared to the part of the building that was standing, that remained standing. So there was like shoddy work all the way around, and it just seems like corruption and
when you
horrific.
And when you move in someplace, that's not something you think about. Just like when you drive over a bridge, you don't think about it. You just
trust.
Yeah. We get complacent because everything's been so convenient in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but, you know, and I think that's where my anxiety is my superpower, because I'm always, like...
Give me your safety report.
A little hypervigilant and, like, check in and, like, is there a sound? Is there this or that? You know, because I went that earthquake thing, like, anything. I mean, even now, I hear a loud sound, I always, like, stop. I'm like, what was that? Okay, all right, it was just a bus going by.
Is there a dust cloud coming at me? Which way do I need to run? Let's assess the situation.
I'm paying attention.
Do I need my gas mask on? Like,
yes,
what level?
I'll probably die early from too much cortisol in my system, but I'm fucking paying attention. And I always have an exit strategy.
I like having an exit strategy, too. Okay, so even, like, dams, like you mentioned earlier.
Damn.
There was one that had a big failure in Midland, Michigan, pretty recently. And this is happening more often now with climate change and weather that's warming up. We're getting more storm water in the systems, and it's being overwhelmed, causing huge floodings. And it's just overwhelming the systems that weren't made. Those dams weren't made to handle so much water and runoff from the increased climate change.
Can you imagine those dams letting go and just all that water just wash out communities?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing is, like, people forget, like, the dam is there because you'd be underwater if it wasn't there. So without the dam, you would go back to being underwater. We go back to the times before us.
The olden times.
I like those movies that show at the, like, post-apocalyptic, and the cities are all overgrown with trees, and there's like deer or lions.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. So,
but of course, we wouldn't exist.
No, in those worlds. Mean, I'm just gonna assume again that both of us will have some anxiety-related early death.
I'm reading Avi Loeb's book, the one astrophysicist, theoretical physicist.
Oh, yeah, to prepare for the email.
Me inviting him to join our podcast. And he was just talking about that, you know, humanity may only have a couple hundred years if we keep on like we are.
What's
not looking good?
What's something you say, like,
L'chaim.
Live, laugh, love? Or is that an old person saying above a toilet?
YOLO.
YOLO. That's outdated now, too.
What do you mean? What are we trying to speak to?
I don't know, like, only a little bit left. Go get it.
I think that's what you're saying.
A little bit left. Go get it.
Go get it.
So, all right. I don't know.
Get her done. How about that?
I hate it. Don't say it. Like, all right. So we have a funding shortfall.
I was
married
to a redneck for a long time, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
There's some sayings lurking.
I don't like it when they come out, because it's like, wait, who are you?
Get her done. It's fine. It's the other one.
Yeah, like how you try to put like a drawl on that.
It's fine.
It's fine. So you don't do it. It just sounds like you're pouty. Okay, we don't have enough money is a big thing. So there's $2.59 trillion. That's how much we're falling short over the next 10 years to get stuff done. So that's why this bill being passed is a pretty big deal, because that's money we need. If the country doesn't pay its overdue infrastructure bill, It's estimated that the U.S. will lose $10 trillion in economic growth and will lose more than 3 million jobs by 2039. Mm. So kind of big deal. So this crumbling infrastructure also costs every American household, they estimate, around $3,300 a year in hidden costs. So this, they're equating in here lost time, increased fuel consumption while sitting in traffic jams.
I'm going to let the cat in. He's like crying.
And extra car repairs due to poor road conditions.
But don't be annoying or you're going back out.
Like the really bad potholes that we have that damage people's cars. Get your mic off me. It just attacked me.
Sorry.
Are you?
My mic has bad boundaries.
So did your cat. Okay.
The potholes are bad.
Yeah.
And divots, weird divots that go down. And then the bottom of your car scrapes. Yeah. I hate that.
Mm-hmm. So it's good that we're getting a little bit closer with hopefully this bill going through. But however, like, it's out of people's mind. It's been a while since the campaign trail. Like, will people remember why that mattered to make sure that it gets passed? And then it goes to the state level for how money, like, it's voted. So, like, if we don't vote or, you know, push it with our representatives, then that money might, we might just get it refunded back to us later. And then we're like, why are these roads still shitty? Well, because we didn't vote for the money to go where it needed to.
Well, and I think it kind of depends on what's happening at the time. I mean, like, if things just seem fine, people may not want to prioritize that, you know. But now we're just coming off of this horrible tragedy. So I think now it's in people's minds that, yeah, we need to make sure that our buildings aren't going to fall down. But, you know, mm-hmm. a month ago, we may not have seen that as a priority. So I think it depends on the current climate.
Yeah, I mean, and from everything I've read, it's, I mean, everything said that we should be pretty worried about just, not even just like, okay, things are going to collapse now. They pretty confident things aren't just going to collapse now, but it's kind of projection of it, of they're not going to get better just sitting there. And if we don't put the money towards it now, it won't get done. And then it's, we're going to be at a position where things are closed because they have to be closed.
Or people are going to die.
Versus preventative work. Yeah, we're doing intervention in a crisis when the bridge goes in the river or lake or ocean. Versus, you know, just, I feel like it just needs like a general up, I don't know, like an update schedule. Like, we do this shit for everything at work, right? Like,
right.
Every 90 days, review that care plan. You know, every 10 years, we
check all our bridges.
We check our bridges and install necessary updates with new technology to ensure safety. Evidence-based practices of bridge building.
Let's make sure our bridges don't fall down.
Yeah. So that's all really important. And then I was just going to share some of the top four, and this is ranked by Time magazines, not by me.
I'm sorry, the cat keeps bumping into our microphones and pulling our cords.
He's like really looking for a way to get involved.
He's so needy.
So I'm going to share what Time says were the top four biggest infrastructural
problems,
disasters. Ooh. In the U.S. So the first one was in 1980, the Sunshine Skyway in Tampa Bay, Florida. There's just for you a little photo of the highway that's fallen on a ship.
Oh, wow.
Something doesn't belong there. So this happened in the midst of a thunderstorm. Radar failed and that freighter actually collided with one of the bridge's support columns. And the whole thing collapsed, sending six cars, a truck, and a Greyhound bus 150 feet into Tampa Bay. 35 people died. And the bridge was eventually demolished to try to make a safer version and to stabilize the concrete barriers, which they call dolphins. I learned that. To protect from future ship collisions. Because, and that makes sense. If there's ships around, we should protect against ships.
We should. We should have some kind of system so that ships aren't crashing into bridges.
It would just be nice if that was done before this happened.
Nobody thought of it.
At least didn't have the money, is usually my guess.
Yeah, I think this is too much of a commonality that we see with everything, where we don't try to anticipate problems enough. Mm-hmm. And we're
so reactive.
Yeah, we just end up being reactive to everything. Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Cypress Street Viaduct in 1989 in Oakland, California. Do you remember this one? Year after.
Is this
the one?
This is my trauma. That's my earthquake trauma right there.
Right there. Okay. So
horrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the earthquake.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
On October 17th.
Yes, 1989. Mm-hmm. The day Naomi's world changed.
The San Francisco Giants were set to play game 3, Battle of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was like 5:04 p.m.
Just minutes before the game was to begin, a 6.9 magnitude earthquake hit.
It was 7.1, actually.
7.1. Time doesn't know anything. and so the biggest part of the structure that got hit was the viaduct that ended up interrupting the part of the Interstate 880, I think?
Yeah, it's a stretch of the freeway called the Nimitz Freeway. That goes right through the heart of Oakland there.
So 42 of the quake's total 67 deaths occurred as a result of the viaduct's collapse.
And there were some horrible, horrible stories.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
And I mean, it was similar to the Florida condo collapse where, you know, are there people even alive in there? Are we going to get to them in time? Mm-hmm. And days later, I remember somebody was pulled out that was alive, like maybe like 9 days later or something.
Wow. Oh, that's intense. Well, and they were saying too that everyone is really lucky. Honestly, just in the sense because of the game, a lot of people had left to go home early to watch the game. A lot of people were at the game, so they didn't have as many commuters on the road as they typically would have. So I mean, it could have been far worse. It was still very tragic and horrible. I mean, that's still 67 too many, but
that's why for years and years and years, up until like fairly recently, I'd say within the last 5 years, I never drove home from San Francisco because you have to go on the bottom deck of the Bay Bridge. I never drove home in rush hour because I want to be able to go fast and not like be stopped.
So you can just like get over it.
Go there. Yes. And I also like, this is so fucking weird, but I would drive on one of the outer edges because I thought I could like escape or be rescued easier than being in the center.
I wonder
like
if that's
true. How much that quake traumatized me. Mm-hmm. Like it gave me all these like weird irrational.
I have like, that
ways
after
of surviving
after hearing about the Florida building thing. Being in a few different buildings recently, I've had the thought of like, okay, if I'm up higher, you know, what are the odds of, you know, survival if you're up top versus down below? Like these thoughts that you don't typically have.
Well, I was watching an expert in it saying that actually if somebody had been on the roof, they would have survived.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting because I always wonder that too. Like when mm-hmm. I go to stay in a hotel, like
kind
what's
of like
safer, top or bottom?
It's kind of like an elevator. Like if the elevator falls, will I just break my legs? Or
if you jump up at the last second, will you be okay?
I think I heard that's like not true.
Well, I don't think you'd really have time to jump.
I think it depends how far up it's falling.
You'd have like a split second and that's it. I don't think there's jumping time.
Future topics, elevators. Okay. You did escalators.
I should do a whole topic on that earthquake sometime because
it
traumatized me. I was a hot mess for a long time.
Yes, you're still a hot mess. Okay, the other one, Silver Bridge in 1967. So this was in Gallipolis, Ohio. Gallipolis.
I've never heard of that place.
I don't know. So the Silver Bridge collapse. That's a Silver Bridge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's collapsed.
Yes. So this was actually December 2017 had marked the 50th anniversary of when that happened. So the shiny aluminum suspension bridge suddenly collapsed just over a week before Christmas, plunging 32 vehicles into freezing cold Ohio River. 46 people died, including 2 whose bodies were never found. An analysis of the wreckage indicated that a 0.1-inch defect in one of the bridge's metal bars led to the structure failure. Mm-hmm. Rush hour traffic and poor maintenance throughout its lifespan didn't help. The bridge was later replaced with Silver Memorial Bridge, which is still there today. But, like, 0.1 inch. That's all it takes. So like their whole like, we're just going to shift the weight over here because it's
unstable. That might not be enough.
Yeah, like, I mean,
next time I see all the cars being diverted to one lane on a bridge, I'm going to turn around.
I didn't mean to start another call box. I really didn't. But it could mean that, actually. So the last one that I'm going to talk about is the Big Bayou Bridge in Mobile, Alabama. Wait, am I right? Is that Alabama? Yes. Okay. I think she was in Alaska. Those very different things. Alabama. Hey, we have an Alabama listener.
We do. I wonder if she, very first.
Because this was in 1993, so maybe they know about it.
They probably do.
So the Sunset Limited was crossing the Big Bayou Cannot Bridge, approximately 70 miles per hour. So it's a train.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So a train was going over.
Oh, it went into the water?
Yeah, about 70 miles an hour. So the bridge for this train went over the water. And it hit a kink in the track, and it derailed.
Why is there a kink in the track?
Right? Yes.
I don't like kinky tracks.
Right. Causing a locomotive car to slam into a bridge span and initiate the structure's collapse. Three locomotives and four train cars went nosedive into the water, rupturing the fuel tanks upon impact and lighting thousands of gallons of fuel on fire. 47 people died, making the wreck the deadliest to date in Amtrak history.
Oh, Amtrak.
Yeah. So the disaster is traced back to a tugboat, which pushed an accompanying barge into the bridge span minutes before the accident.
Again, bridge is hit by boats.
Due to heavy fog and the pilot's inexperience.
Again. Mm-hmm. Can we do something about this fog?
Well, it's like the radar on the ships. Like they.
Can we put some like lights on the bridge? Fog lights? Perhaps a fog
I'm sure
horn.
They do have some things, but when it's really foggy and someone's inexperienced and their radar is not working properly, then I need bumpers. If I get bumpers on the road to bump my car from going off into the ravine.
Don't tugboats all have bumpers on them?
I don't. Not good ones. Well, no, the bridge needs bumpers.
Oh.
To not take the damage. Like, have a rubber bumper out there.
A
something.
Rubber baby buggy bumper.
Boo.
If the bridge had a bumper and the tugboat had a bumper, then it would just bounce off like bumper cars.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It does. That sounds fun for everybody, for the bridge, for the boat.
And you're already in the water, so in a boat. I would do that in a boat, not a car.
I think they do have water bumper boats.
They do, and you spray each other in the face.
See?
Yeah.
We can turn tragedy
with dirty chlorine water
into fun with germs.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no. I don't want to have someone's Band-Aid sprayed in my face.
No. I don't like public pool settings in general.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic, isn't
it? Yeah, a future topic.
That one really just grosses me
out. Chlorinated pools.
This one just makes me, like, think more than I want to when I'm out driving.
I think every time I cross a bridge, if there happens to be traffic, even on our little, like, our bridges are so short. No. But if I have to sit there...
They're up high, though.
I think about
it. It's like rock.
Oh, no, you would die if your car went down. Yeah.
Some of them, like, they're low to the water, so I'm like, well, maybe my car will gently be set in the water.
Well, sometimes I think where about... Where I can then like, hold in them. The movie, like, an action movie, you know, where they're able to, like, leap their car
there are some
over to, like, catches a little piece of fallen concrete and is able to get enough purchase to leap into safety.
Anytime I see those parts in movies... Sorry, I'm chewing ice, too. Anytime I see those parts in movies, I try to hold my breath as long as they are underwater.
Oh, like underwater. Yeah.
To see it. And I'm like, no effing way. Like,
it's like a 3-minute scene.
I would have gone unconscious like 30 seconds in because I would have had one panic and my lungs would have filled up with water.
And you're dead.
Yeah. And they're like under there for 6 minutes holding their breath, like cutting things and kicking things. And
oh, do you have one of those in your car? The seatbelt cutter window smasher?
Well, you do know that the top of your seat, the headrest pops off and those little pointed ends are made to break the window.
Who has time for that?
Well, they just pop off. Who has time for whatever?
I'm buckled in.
Where do you even keep that?
I need to, first of all, slice my seatbelt so I can get free.
Well, can't you just press the button? Wouldn't that be quicker?
But sometimes when they're wet, they don't work and people get trapped in their seatbelt.
That's movies.
A lot of people have been trapped in their seatbelts. They have to get cut free.
Why?
It just happens in the accident. They don't work. They don't release.
I feel like sometimes it's just quicker to do that. Like if someone's in an accident because you don't want to like be so reaching over.
Here's what I would do. I'd pull out my tool. I would cut the seatbelt.
Where do you keep the
I
tool?
Would deeply slice my body on accident. And just die from that wound bleeding out.
How'd she go? Self mutilation? I don't know. Yeah, so I don't think those movies are realistic at all. I think they all would have died.
They aren't. We like, have so many future topics. We will never run out of topics, sadly.
No, it's great.
It's a disturbing world we live in.
And fun to talk about.
Well, it's fun to talk about it with you.
Mm-hmm. It's your turn. I'm done.
Oh.
I'm just going to continue enjoying my drink now.
Well, I'm turning my laptop so I have privacy.
Okay.
Because you're a sneaky looker.
Excuse me.
I have a topical topic yet again.
So topical lately.
This was a topic that my son Skylar suggested when I was sitting in the backyard and said, I need a topic for this week. And he said, why don't you talk about John McAfee?
Oh, and I said, internet guy? Or sorry, John the internet McAfee. Protection software?
Yeah.
Like Norton?
And he said, yeah. Like the antivirus guy. So I said, okay, because I didn't know a thing about John McAfee.
I love it when I do that to people and I say, I need a podcast idea because they give me something. I'm like, huh, okay, let me run with that.
I knew nothing.
Yeah.
But I knew if Skylar suggested it, it was going to be interesting.
It's going to be dark.
So before I start, this topic has to do with suicide. So if you do not want to listen to that, stop listening now. So I'm going to talk about the disturbingly dangerous life of John McAfee, antivirus software builder, founder. I should put my glasses on.
You just keep saying things and then squinting at me and I don't know what's happening. Take a moment.
I actually
fine.
Have glasses. I just hate these glasses so much. They're so ugly.
Yeah, why? They're not ugly. Look how pretty you are.
Look at that glare, though. It's like a full blue square. Takes the place of each of my eyes.
It's like your Mike beard.
So I'm going to start where it maybe ended. Maybe ended, because we don't know. John McAfee died by apparent suicide 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
In a Spanish prison. Yeah.
In a Spanish prison?
Yep.
McAfee that pops up on my computer all the time and I have to uninstall the software because it's really just spam?
Yes. He was about to be extradited to the U.S. to face tax evasion charges from millions in unreported income from various endeavors. He was found hanging in his cell. If convicted, he could have had up to 30 years in prison. He was 75 years old.
Wow.
His wife, Janice McAfee, blamed the U.S. authorities. She read a statement on June 25th. Because of these politically motivated charges, my husband is now dead. His last words were, I love you and I'll call you in the evening. He did not deserve to die in a filthy prison like a caged animal. So she denied any suicidality prior to his death, as have everybody that knew him and interacted with him.
Interesting.
She said John had hope that things would work out and he was planning to fight the tax evasion charges. And if anything, he was a fighter. Like he, like that is true about him, as you'll learn in his story. As of 2 days ago, Janice had not received the death certificate, the official autopsy report, or the official report from the prison. She was just given 2 days ago a suicide note that she says is not a suicide note that authorities told her was found in his pocket. But she said that was very strange because
this was in a Spanish prison.
Yes. She said she was initially given his belongings after he died, and the note was not given to her at that time. Just 2 days ago, it was given to her.
Suspect. So sus.
So suspect. So she says this is not a suicide note. She said it sounded more like one of his tweets. And in it, John calls himself a phantom parasite who wants to control his future that does not exist. So this is a picture of the note. So a lot of crossings out. It's handwritten on
very
some
sloppy
graph paper.
Very like elementary school handwriting.
So it's not directly a suicide note. I mean, the only part is my future does not exist, you know.
But why is all the rest of the part that would make it not a suicide note crossed off?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot crossed out. So
I'm going to try to read that later.
Yeah.
It's hard to read
later. So in 1987, McAfee's antivirus software came out. This was the first commercial antivirus software. And this came out at a time when most people hadn't even heard of a computer virus. Mm-hmm. So John initially was this free spirit, and this drove the culture of his company. And he was a personality. He could sell stuff. So he went out and would like really promote this idea of the computer virus and how you have to protect your computer from it. And
I love that the like main push of computer viruses came from virus protection software.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there, he had a contest in his workplace to see who could have sex in the most places around the office.
What?
Yeah.
I think that's like,
so already he's sort of driving this culture of, you know, his workplace. Mm-hmm. And people followed him. It was like a tribe. So he resigned from McAfee prior to Intel's $7 billion buyout. But he did gain $100 million in the buyout. Then he lost most of his fortune during the recession of 2008. Mm. He did become a huge critic of the McAfee software. Mm-hmm. And he really didn't like the company continuing to use his name.
I remember reading something about that. I don't know. There's so much like bloatware in it. Where it's
that's
just
what he called it, bloatware.
Oh, look at me.
Yeah, look, it says right. No, don't look.
I didn't look at it. That was my own thought. Don't take it away from me.
So the company did continue to use his name because I think that was just the brand and everybody knew it. Mm-hmm. So after he left McAfee, so he has all this money, he's rich. He went to Colorado and bought this giant mansion in the hills and,
as one does,
created like a yoga retreat, and he would like let people stay there all the time. He always had this entourage, and he was like this enlightened guru for a while, really promoting the yoga lifestyle. But then when that stock market crash happened, 2008, he lost $90 million.
Wow.
And the property was auctioned off. So after that, after the stock market crash, McAfee moved to Belize to a beautiful beachside property because he still had some money. He wasn't like poor.
Yeah.
I mean, $10 million is still more than we have, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he really struggled during that time. I'm sure he still had some shade.
He did have shade. He moved to a beautiful beachside property on San Pedro Island in Belize. And this is where things really started to go downhill. So John bought an additional property on the mainland and turned it into a compound. And
I want to know, like, is it at the $1 million mark? When is enough money to start a compound? Like, when can I start applying that name?
Well, I've been to compounds north of here, and I do not think they needed $1 million to start those.
I mean, what are the basic requirements of a compound?
I think you just have to have enough space to make more than one building.
Oh, okay. So there's just multiple buildings. Your dad could have a compound. He has his house and a garage. Is that a compound?
Oh, no, I think you need a couple more. Couple more buildings.
He's got room.
Yeah, and they have to each have like a designated purpose.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
So this compound was built on the shores of a river that the Mayans called the River of Strange Faces. Relevant? I'm not sure.
Is it foreshadowing?
I thought I'd put it in because I was like, maybe the river was haunted and it.
I didn't get that from that, but now that you said that, okay. A little bit of a reach, but I liked the.
So McAfee was living with 7 girlfriends in Belize. The owner of the local bar really found the girls for John, and he arranged for the girls to be connected with John. One of the women, Samantha, complained about how long he needed to have sex. It was all day long. From morning until the next morning.
What?
She said it was very, very long.
That's very long.
A very long time.
That's like way too long.
She did try to shoot John out of frustration with him.
I was going to say, I don't know anyone who'd be okay with that. And then, yeah.
Another of the women, Amy, also admitted to trying to shoot him in the head.
What?
And on another occasion, cut his throat.
Oh, okay. So there might be some shady stuff going on. I mean, most women don't do that, fair to say.
She said this was because she was jealous and tired of him. Because that's tough. 7 women, 1 guy.
Well, it's like when we've talked about like the polygamous.
Yeah. I watch a documentary and they, each of them separately were filmed saying that they were the favorite. It was really funny.
Guess what? It was none of you.
The gun that she fired was very close range. And so McAfee was talking about this, that he had permanent hearing damage from it. Amy was only 16 when she moved into John's house.
Okay, this is sounding a little Tiger King-ish now. We're hitting some general areas of some other topics.
So a few of his girlfriends were like 16, 17 years old.
Gross.
He said he was careful not to go under 16 because that was the age of consent.
That's so still gross.
Even though there's like a vast age difference between 16 and however old he was.
Wasn't he in his 70s?
He's 75 now, or would have been 75. So I don't know. We have to go back in time and do the math.
We don't go back in time. Not without our time traveler.
We'd have to get our calculator out for this.
I don't do math.
Let's just say he was considerably older than them.
Enough where someone had to point it out.
Enough where it would be noticeable and creepy. This will fall into the creeper category.
Creeper, yes.
We'll do our crime wall.
Our 2-year.
So he was very open about that he had teenage girlfriends.
Because it's not illegal in, what, Belize?
Illegal here. 16 is the age of consent here.
But there's the age difference until you're 18, right?
Not if you're 16. Once you're 16, you can be with somebody much, much older. That age difference, that gap,
yeah,
that's if they're younger teens. So you can't be like 11 and 17.
Yeah.
I think it's like 4 years.
You can only be. Yeah.
So you can be 11 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how long it took me to do that math? I'm just shamefully long.
The second numbers came up, I'm just squinting and nodding at you a lot. Basically, you could have said anything. I'd be
four
like,
plus
right.
11. 4 plus 11.
Yes. Got it. You're a genius, and thank I support you.
Thank you. So he paid them money. One of the gals said she got $900 a day.
A day.
And he bought them nice things. You know, he'd take them shopping. They had nice stuff. So he found them in, you know, a poor part of town. So this was an opportunity to have a different lifestyle.
To use a power differential in your money to have young teen
7
prostitutes.
7.
7 young
So prostitutes. He liked to have the girls and young women shit in his mouth.
Just took a drink right to do that. You're so abrupt when you said that.
That was his thing.
How is that your thing? Like, that was the girl said he never had vaginal intercourse. Oh.
It was always something to do with the poop shoot.
Hmm.
Yeah. They said he cut a hole in the bottom of the hammock and they would be on the top of the hammock over the hole and then he would be underneath and they would poop in his mouth and he liked it.
I mean, did he gag or throw up? I'm just wondering about the logistics here.
I don't know about that.
Is he allowed to?
It was his thing.
Does he swallow the poo?
I don't know how
this works. Or does he swirl it around or does he like...
I have no idea. But now I'm thinking of chocolate soft serve and I hate you.
With a maraschino cherry on top.
Okay. And I learned a new term.
Episode name. That's called chocolate soft serve.
Scat sex.
Scat.
I hadn't heard of that term.
I hadn't heard that either.
I like learning.
Scat sex.
Learning is fun.
Would you like a little poo in your mouth?
So that was his jam. Chocolate jam. So he liked firearms a lot.
Enough to be shot in the face or near the face.
Yeah. He was constantly surrounded by multiple security. So 12 or 13 guys on the regs, but if he was going somewhere up to 25.
They didn't have to poop in his mouth though, right?
No.
Good.
He hired those that had criminal records, gang affiliation. He armed them and dressed them like soldiers.
Dude, he sounds like
a power trip.
Yeah. Like what's that drug guy's name? I can't remember. I don't know. Hippos, cocaine hippos. Give me a name. Pablo.
Escobar.
Escobar. Yeah. Like a little Pablo Escobar wannabe with some like chocolate soft serve swirled in the middle.
I think you're onto something. So lots of firearms everywhere. He was always armed. Everybody was armed. He had a lab on the compound where he was trying to create
chocolate,
natural laboratory. He was trying to create natural antibiotics based on a new science using local plants. Nice idea. However, in 2012, he was suspected of making meth or some other illegal substance and having unlicensed weapons.
Nice idea, but really it's just a weapons and drugs charge.
His compound was raided by the Gang Suppression Unit, which is a pretty scary. They're called the GSU there in Belize.
Sounds terrifying.
Pretty scary. Yeah. Their job is drugs and weapons. Like that's their only focus. They don't care about anything else.
Keep your scat to yourself. They don't care about that.
Nothing illegal was found, however, but they did shoot and kill one of his dogs.
What? Why does this always keep happening?
I know.
Innocent victims. Unless it was vicious, and then probably not.
So McAfee said this raid was in revenge for him not donating to a local politician. He'd already been concerned that people were following him.
Some paranoia?
After the death of Middleton, which I haven't talked about yet. Hopefully I talk about it later. I'm foreshadowing. After the death of Middleton.
Whoever that is.
this made his fear that he was in danger even worse. So he's starting to get paranoid. Which could be exacerbated by drug use. We don't know.
Yeah, they're drug-induced paranoia. It's a thing.
Yes.
And meth. Meth does that too, I think, right?
Yes, very much. So after this raid, he moved his whole entourage from its compound on the mainland in this low-income area. He took all his bodyguards, all the guns, all the scantily clad teens and young women back to his beach house on the wealthy tourist island. So how do you think that's going to turn out? What do you think's going to happen?
I think he's going to get raided again.
Let's see what happens. But first, here's an image from his 2013 viral antiviral software video he made about how to uninstall McAfee.
That's great.
So that's
an
image from it. So he's there with face covered with white powder, surrounded by scantily clad young women. That's his real life wife, I think, Janice.
With bath salts in front of bath him. Bath salts. Guns.
Yeah, this.
What is she doing?
She's snorting something. Oh. There's guns everywhere. So he said he wanted to just like put everything in the video that people falsely accused him of. That's a very violent air quote.
When air quotes get violent.
Okay, suspect in a murder case.
It escalates.
4 months after the raid, McAfee's American expat neighbor, Gregory Fall, was shot and killed. So, Gregory Fall...
Did he fall?
Every night. Had to walk past McAfee's property to get to the local... bar on the beach.
Okay, can
that
you,
everybody hung out at.
Okay, so this, wait, who is this guy to him again? Sorry.
Neighbor. On the rich, wealthy
rich,
island.
Wealthy neighbor. Why is this, do they have a conflict at this point or no?
Well, this is the conflict. Every night.
He walks past.
He has to go past the property. Okay. So what does he see? All these armed dudes.
Drugs, women, guns.
McAfee had his dogs just unleashed, running around, barking. So he had to walk through that every night to get to his favorite beach spot. And so,
sounds like a stiff to me.
Like, that would get old.
Yeah.
That really would. I mean, I don't like it when people have their dogs unleashed and they're barking and running around at me.
To be fair, we both are very much the get off my lawn people.
Well, this is open
access.
Yeah, it's the beach.
You keep using a lot of hands. There's a beach. Hands are happening.
You walk on the beach. So there's like the houses and there's the beach. And then you walk on the
beach. No, I got
it
once you told me again. Okay. I didn't need more hands. Can you put your hands down, actually? It's starting to make me anxious. Put your hand down.
Here, I'll give them something to do. They need a job. So he put in a formal complaint. About the dogs, and he did say that he was going to poison the dogs because he was just so sick of it. Actually got poisoned. The next day, Gregory Fall was found dead from a single bullet to the back of his head.
I mean, sounds legit. Yeah.
It looked like an execution style hit. His body was covered in taser marks. So he was tortured prior to being shot. Remember the taser thing?
I will remember that. Maybe I probably won't remember it, but
everybody
thanks for trying.
Immediately assumed McAfee had killed Gregory Fall.
Mm-hmm,
there were no other suspects.
Because he poisoned the dogs.
Because his dogs got poisoned and the next morning he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no.
Yeah. If you come after pausing. My dog, that's all.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. So, in a contemporary interview with Wired, McAfee said...
What's a contemporary interview?
Like, very recent.
Okay.
Like, not from those times. Like, after, like many, many years after that happened.
Okay.
McAfee said he'd been afraid police would kill him and refused to answer their questions and... He said he wanted to hide from them, and he buried himself in sand for several hours with a cardboard box over his head.
Sounds
so
like
the police wouldn't find him.
Sounds like some mental health stuff coming into play here.
Belize's prime minister called him extremely paranoid, even bonkers.
Yeah, starts to get sad when that stuff.
So McAfee took off, and he, you know, continually denied that he was involved in this. So there's a lot of media out there about John McAfee's like crazy time when he lived in Belize. So there was a 6-month Wired investigation by an embedded journalist named Joshua Davis that was made into an ebook called John McAfee's Last Stand, which I bought for like a dollar and then didn't read.
Oh.
Because I didn't have time. But I own it. So if
for
everyone.
A dollar.
Well, I don't really like reading Kindle books.
I don't either. I like.
It irritates me.
I need the physical thing.
Yeah, I need the physical thing.
It's rewarding.
So then there's a documentary I did watch called Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee by Nanette Burstein.
Burstein.
This covers allegations.
Your drink was wonderful. That's
that he raped his former lab assistant and business partner, Allison Adonisio, and that he had involvement in a second murder of Belizean David Middleton.
Middleton, I remembered.
Good, I have it in here. I don't know why I foreshadowed.
That's not what you told me about to remember. I already forgot what that was.
Tasers.
So Middleton, tasers.
Allison, the lab assistant. Yes, the world they are.
So smart.
Told McAfee that she wanted to go home because he was starting to get really paranoid. He was starting to get violent. There was no progress in the work.
Shit's getting weird. Time to go.
She said she told him that she wanted to go home, he brought her two pills and a glass of orange juice. She said it tasted strange, but she drank it anyway. And that she says she has flashes of images of being raped. She woke up sick, dry heaving, and bleeding.
So they gave her private areas. Some form of date rape.
Something.
Drug. Yeah. And then raped her. That's horrible.
She was eventually able to escape and got to the U.S. and reported the incident to the FBI, but they said they had no jurisdiction. So nothing happened.
That's so sad. I'm going to report my abuse and then we don't have jurisdiction. How about anything? How about following up with the other place that does have jurisdiction? Maybe you could help out.
Well, you'll hear a little bit more about.
Does it involve tasers?
Yes.
Good. I hope so. I like your pinky out fashion on your drink, by the way. You're drinking with your pinky out.
Oh, I'm so refined.
You're so fancy. You have a very fancy pinky too. So it really pulls the room together. Hmm.
David Middleton, local Belizean. He broke into McAfee's house and robbed him, apparently. Allegedly. Hmm. So McAfee's driver said that in the documentary that he was asked to bring a few guys to teach Middleton a lesson, to rough him up a little bit. Hmm. So he got some real gangsters of the area who were paid $3,000. But according to one of the guys, McAfee had this guy fully tortured.
Jeez.
Not just beat up a little bit and scared. Mm-hmm. He was cut with a steak knife. His face was pulp. He was tasered. Hmm. And later at the hospital died.
What? Wow.
And he had a young son.
Yeah, definitely more than a little roughed up. I was trying to think of you said it so casually, rough him up a little bit. And I've seen that so much in movies, where people get roughed up. I'm pretty sure the police would be called really quickly. You can't just rough people up. It's not a thing you can actually do.
This is police, though.
Without Well,
it's a little different.
I mean, I do end up knowing that he went to jail, so something happened. Oh, silence. Secrets.
After the murder of Greg Fall, so remember our Floridian that moved to Belize.
Floridian
there,
Falls.
McAfee went on the run for a month and a half around Belize, so he was never questioned.
Is Belize big?
It's big enough to
run
to
around.
Go on the run for a month and a half.
I mean, he's got money, I guess.
So he was never questioned. He left immediately with his whole entourage. So
he's not very inconspicuous.
The guns, everything. He said he left because he thought he would be killed while in custody. Who knows? That could be true. So he invited a Vice magazine journalist to go along with him and document his time hiding out and being on the run.
Is that a thing? Does that exist? Can I watch that? Did Vice?
Yes.
Oh.
It's online.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Vice magazine, in one of the pictures they posted of him for this coverage, they accidentally left the GPS data on the photo.
What the
So it gave away McAfee's location.
Wow. Well, I mean, honestly,
that's a major my bad.
As an internet guy, though, like he should have been, and paranoid, he should have been like, okay, maybe something bad's gonna like they'll probably use this.
No, it was an accident.
Well, I know, but like
the Vice magazine journalist, I don't think he meant to leave that information, because you can remove that information.
I know, but he's like paranoid already. He's on the run. Like
you're saying, like a software guy should have.
Yeah, like a software guy who's paranoid on the run. Why would you invite Vice magazine to follow you? Like,
because he's an attention whore.
Well, obviously, an attention
loved
whore.
Attention. Loved it. Wanted to always be in the spotlight. Always doing something to stay relevant.
You know,
to...
you get close to the sun, you gonna get burned.
That's true. So McAfee was detained for illegally entering Guatemala by boat because he was trying to get there to seek asylum from these possible murder charges in Belize. Then he faked a heart attack.
I don't think that's what asylum is for. I'm going to be charged for murder. Can I stay with you guys?
So then he faked a heart attack.
Better. Wow, I'm learning so much about McAfee. I knew before this was like, would you like to install? Hell no. That's all I knew before this moment. So this is like, this is great.
There's footage of all this.
This is like cocaine hippos mixed with like Tiger King. I love it.
It's a lot happening.
It's a lot all at once.
So there's footage. Vice magazine was filming during this whole thing. So you can see him like being like, oh, I need to go to the hospital. Like the whole thing.
Because I'm having a heart attack.
So he did that so that he would be deported back to the U.S. rather than being extradited back to Belize to face questioning for murder. So the heart attacks were to buy time for his attorney to file a series of appeals to prevent his deportation back to Belize and be able to get his ass to the U.S. And it worked. In November of 2018, the circuit court in Orlando, Florida, where Gregory Fall was from, refused to dismiss a wrongful death lawsuit against McAfee for Fall's death.
Hmm.
So McAfee was ordered to pay $25 million in damages, and he never paid anything.
Hmm.
And I saw some interviews with Gregory Fall's dad that just...
Yeah, that would suck.
He is just so angry that...
Some sort of accountability.
For a lot of things, but that more focus is on McAfee than his son.
Yeah, which we've seen so many times with different cases we've talked about. It's more about the perpetrator than the victim.
Yes. So the police in Belize, to get back to where they're at with policing, they did gather, I mean, it's a poor country.
Or so. The Belize.
They did gather DNA evidence at the scene. They had a hair and they had some other stuff.
Just a hair.
But they didn't at the time have the forensic technology to process it.
Hmm.
And they said that they, like most of their murders that they solved were more like just on eyewitness testimony. So not quite as the same approach to murder investigation that we have in the U.S. So in the Gringo documentary by Nanette Burstein, individuals involved said McAfee paid a local gang member named Mac5 $5,000 for the hit. And Mac5 was seen by a lot of people the morning of the hit talking to McAfee.
Okay.
So there's a lot of links there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
that's a pretty big correlation there.
Yeah.
The hitman talking to the one that probably paid him.
Yes. So, by the way, in 2016 and 2020, McAfee ran for president in the Libertarian Party. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I see what you learned. Stop looking at my words. I know you have good eyesight and you can see everything.
Why do you say I have good eyesight?
Because you do.
The only reason why it happened
to you had the eye surgery.
My eyes aren't bionic.
Yes, they are.
And they're actually like, I have a little floaty in my left eye. So if I look at white backgrounds, I see this little black dot that zooms around. It's quite obnoxious, actually.
Oh, that would annoy me.
It annoys me. The only reason why I looked at your screen is because you had a font change, and that sticks out to me. I do a lot of grading of papers. And so like the font change, my eyes go to it because I'm like, wrong. That's all.
If
that's
I was
all.
Submitting this for grades, I would put it all in a standard font, but
thank
this
you.
Is just for me.
And so. Your, yes, your, the type sets, it's all.
Bitcoin.
Yes.
McAfee was one of the early investors. So a lot of people, and even he's alluded to that he had way more money than people thought because it was all over the world. And, you know, in the Swiss bank accounts. That kind of thing.
That thing that does actually exist. That would be a thing to another topic. Swiss bank accounts. Like, what is that thing that everybody talks about?
So in 2019, there was an interview where he said he was in eat his own ween if
I need you to say that over. What?
McAfee said he would eat his own member unit.
Okay.
If the value didn't go to 1 million by 2020.
Did it not go to 1 million?
No, I think it did, but I don't know. I don't know, but I think it was at 1 million at one point.
Did he eat his ween?
I don't think he had to. But then he tried to backpedal that and say, no, I'll have somebody else eat it. It's like, well, that's not the same thing. It's
We would need you to eat it.
Yeah, you said you would eat it.
It's disgusting and gross, but you better get out a knife right now.
You better eat it.
Yeah, we expect outcomes.
So McAfee lived on the run, living on a boat in international waters before he was arrested last October while trying to leave Spain for Turkey. So he's been on the run, evading questioning for this murder, evading these tax evasion charges. So he was arrested in Spain over these tax evasion charges. And also by the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission that he was engaged in fraudulent crypto business that netted him 23 mil. So, like I started with, he was awaiting extradition to the U.S. to face these charges. And hours after the extradition went through and was authorized, he was dead. Maybe. 1 week prior to his death, he tweeted from prison, "The U.S. believes I have hidden crypto. I wish I did, but it has dissolved through the many hands of Team McAfee. Your belief is not required, and my remaining assets are all seized. My friends evaporated through fear of association. I have nothing, yet I regret nothing."
Rebel till the end.
Was he murdered? His wife says no. A lot of other people say no. He always said he would never kill himself, and that he explicitly said if he was found dead by hanging, it would mean he was murdered and that the U.S. government had killed him. He had a tattoo that said whacked, just to remind people of that. That if he was found dead, he was whacked. So he said, if I hang myself a la Epstein, it will be no fault of mine. So he tweeted that in October of 2020. His widow, Janice, said that he was not suicidal. And, you know, in the hours before he died, he had said, "I love you and I'll call you in the evening." And they had such a great love affair from what I've seen in like interviews and stuff. They met in Miami at a bar when she walked by. And he said she had like the nicest ass he'd ever seen.
Romantic.
She was a sex worker, but they got married.
Aww.
Lived happily ever after.
With the 17 other women?
No, I don't know if that lifestyle continued after he got married or not. So, in February, this February, he tweeted, "My life's conflicts stemmed from one source. My best friend and my worst enemy were both myself." In a comment on YouTube that was posted just today, someone said, "His death is fake. Everyone knows you can't get rid of McAfee." So a lot of people think he might have faked his death. And his wife said she wasn't allowed to see the whole body, just his head through a window.
I mean, but why would he hide from her? I mean, I could see someone else murdering him probably more than I could see him just disappearing. But no, what do I know? I don't know.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-8255. And that's the disturbingly dangerous life of John McAfee.
So, yeah, that's so bizarre.
I knew nothing.
I know, that's intense.
It was just...
That's a Netflix series waiting to happen, is what that is.
It was just a disc you put in your computer and could never get rid of after that. That's mm-hmm. all McAfee was for me.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do discs anymore, in case you didn't know that.
Well, that's how long ago I had the McAfee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is your mic, like, tipsy?
You know what?
It's, like, very not balanced. You barely tap it, and it falls over.
You know, I always have mic issues.
Tipsy, fallsy.
I usually keep my foot on it, so that doesn't happen.
Well, why don't you just drop... Anyway, we'll deal with this later. Wonderful topic. I'm glad I learned about that.
And now I will... be extra paranoid about going over bridges or under bridges.
Well,
or
is that in buildings. Your, until next time? Until next time.
Always have an exit strategy.
And maybe skip the soft serve.
Ew.